The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
And then literally 3 weeks after giving birth, I got an email in the middle of the night from her saying, oh, I was right. The person that I thought was your donor is your donor. He's done the same test because I sent it to him and it's come up as a paternal match. Here's his email. Oh, and in the middle of the night, and I was like, I was up doing a night feed of Birdie and I was like, sorry, what?
Oh my God.
And so I was instantly like Googling his name, getting pictures, showing my wife the picture, being like, look. And I couldn't do anything. I was like, I have to go to sleep. I have to start again in the morning.
Hey, y'all. Hey, welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, a show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. And you, my beautiful friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is and always has been to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA plus families and all of our beautiful identities. And this episode really does just that. I got to sit down with Freya Lyon again. Now, some of you might remember Freya from way back in season 6, episode 10, in the episode titled Queer Mom, Queer Spawn. Yeah, because she is a queer mom with donor-conceived children and queer spawn, which means she is a child of queer moms and was also donor-conceived herself. Y'all, when I tell you I was leaning in real close to this episode, I am not lying, because Freya wanted to come back. Because Freya, first of all, when I last talked to Freya, she had just given birth to her first. Now she has two beautiful babies with her wife. She also recently met her donor, y'all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's an adult. She was conceived a while back. Met her donor, who was supposed to be anonymous all along, because this was back in the day. Yep, just met him. And listen, I was leaning in so close during this episode. If I took screenshots of my faces, if you watch the video throughout this entire interview, it could be like a photo album of humor and also the many faces of fear of Jamie Kelton. I want to be like, fix your face, Jamie, fix your face, because you can tell. I'm like leaning in close. I'm like biting my nails. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? It's a lot. But anyway, I don't want to spoil it for you. It's actually a beautiful story. And Freya gives me all the hope in the world that all of this is going to turn out okay. You know, because as a mother of donor conceived children, I need to know my children are going to be okay. Especially with all that crazy rhetoric out there. I just saw a silly YouTube video of some man talking about the repercussions of same-sex people raising kids and how are they going to learn their gender norms and their gender boxes. And I'm like, it's like, and the amount of likes this video had and the comments, I can't even. So I'm here to combat that one interview at a time. And Freya helps me so beautifully with that. So before I roll the tape, just want to say one thing, don't forget, support me on Patreon at patreon.com/the Queer Family Podcast. And as you know, I always, always, always want to hear from all of y'all, B-U-N-L-A-G, a B, a T, a Q, a I, an A, an ally, whoever you are, I want to hear from you. You can give me a phone call, 646-470-1840, and then you'll be featured on this here little show. Or you can send me a text. You can send me an email at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. You can also send me a DM in all of the social media channels at The Queer Family Podcast. So many ways to contact me, and you didn't even want them, but there you have them. And I just want to get right into this episode. I have a lot on my mind because I have officially entered the birthday season in my house. Yes, we all have birthdays within about 40 days of each other, and it becomes a thing. Also, Christmas is there, which means I should call it Santa celebration because that's what we celebrate. And so it is a busy time of year for me. So let's just get right into Freya because I absolutely adore Freya and I think y'all are going to too. So Helen, Beulah, Nicole, I didn't tell you. Helen has a blog, y'all. Go to thequeerfamilypodcast.com, click on the blog. Helen is blogging about these here episodes. I'm not even lying. I am not even lying. Go check it out. Helen wants all of you to subscribe to her blog. And I don't even know why I gave her the opportunity for this, but I did. So now what you have to do is you all have to go to that blog and read the things she has to say about these interviews here. Oh my goodness. I'm not sure I even read them yet. Not going to lie. Guys, Helen isn't real. I don't even know who's writing these blogs. Actually, I do. I know exactly who it is. But anyway, go check out the blog. Okay, let's roll the tape. Helen, Beulah, Nicole, my real assistant, please roll that tape. I love y'all so much. Enjoy.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Freya.
Hi.
Oh my God. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
When you reached out, I was like, Fred, you're one of my favorites. I'm not lying.
You say that to everyone.
I love all my guests equally. They're like my children. But your episode really is one of my favorites. Those of you at home, if you haven't listened to Freya's episode, it's called Queer Spawn, Queer Mom. It's season 6, episode 10. Is that what I said earlier?
I think it's the other way around. Oh, no. It's one of those.
So listen to both of them. They're both going to be good episodes. Okay, so Freya... Holy moly. Freya, give the listeners, if they haven't listened to your first episode, kind of your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are, why you're here today talking to the Queer Fam Squad. On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, I'm Freya. I'm from the UK. I was conceived to queer mums in the 90s with a sperm donor. I and my wife then used a sperm donor to conceive our two children in 2020, after having my first, I found my donor, my biological father, and we connected. I've gone on to find 5 of my 15 half-siblings and connect with them. And I have found one of my daughter's half-siblings, and I'm starting the process of potentially being a known egg donor myself.
What? Oh, okay. That was beautifully done. You went slightly over, but I don't hate you for it. At all. That's okay. Holy, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Because last time I talked to you, you had one child.
Yeah, I had one.
Right?
Yeah.
You had just given birth.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's 3 and a bit now, my eldest, Birdie. She's like a walking teenager. Uh-huh. And my youngest she will be 1 on Boxing Day. So do you have Boxing Day in America? The day after Christmas Day?
No.
Oh, she'll be 1 the day after Christmas Day. So,
oh my God, what a day. We're Christmas birthdays over here too. Oh man, really? It makes December crazy, right?
Yeah, expensive as hell.
Yes, totally. And I'm one of the birthdays, so you know it's expensive. I'm just kidding. No, okay, all right. So holy moly. All right, so wait, let's dig in here. Mm-hmm. We need to do like a basic rundown of your family. Yeah. Oh my God, there's so much to unpack. Okay, we need a... Let's start with the basic rundown of your personal family building journey.
Yeah.
How'd you get from 0 to 1 and then to 2 kids and all the things that go along with it?
So me and my wife, we decided to use an open ID donor. So that's a donor that's anonymous until the children turn 18. Mm-hmm. And
at a bank?
Yeah, so we went through a sperm bank and we loved our first so much that we decided to reserve for a sibling. And then we went back and did it all over again for our second.
And who carried?
I carried both.
You carried both.
Yeah, and my eggs. Both your eggs. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And they're close in age. Wow.
Yeah. Oof. So Birdie was 2 years and 4 months when Kit was born.
So I'm assuming relatively easy conceptions.
Yeah. I'm incredibly lucky. They were conceived on our first IUI both times.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very simple pregnancies, very simple labors. I'm very lucky.
Wow. Okay. So congratulations. You've got two beautiful babies.
Yeah.
You're living your queer family life, and I love it so much. Now let's dig into your childhood, your growing up, because you grew up with gay moms.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You are also donor conceived.
I am. Yeah. So my parents met in the 90s and decided they wanted a baby. Wasn't quite as simple as it was for me and my wife. So they went to the sperm bank, but my mom kind of went as a single mom.
Uh-huh.
And my other mom was there as like emotional support. It wasn't really like a couple.
My friend.
Yeah. They also used a donor through a bank. But in those days in the UK, it was totally anonymous, always anonymous. Yeah. We're never going to change. And they had me, and then 4 years later had my sister with the same donor. And my mom carried both, and she conceived both of us on her first IUI with both of us.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Fertile.
Yeah.
Fertile family, huh?
Thankfully passed that down to me. Yeah.
Are your parents still around?
So my parents separated when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And my biological mom sadly died 7 years ago. But my non-biological mom, Nikki, is still very much around still. She is grand gaggy to the kids. She's, very much there.
Oh, I love that. So you stayed. I always worry about this because, because of our families. I always worry about, the connection I have. It's not that I worry about the connection I have with each of my kids. I gave birth to one, my wife gave birth to the other. So I have a non-bio connection to one. I always just want to hear. I want to hear that the kids are still really close with non-bio parents.
Oh, God, yeah. Nikki's like my best friend. She was growing up.
Yeah.
I always was close with her. My sister and my mom were very close. But no, Nikki's who I turn to with literally everything. I drive her nuts. I ring her for everything. I'm like, I don't know how to make the washing machine start. I don't know how to order this. I don't know what to get for so-and-so. I literally ring her nonstop. And that's not changed since having kids. I still ring her just as much.
Good. And you call her Nikki.
So I call her Gaggy. It was my first word. And I've never been able to shake it. But then I get really embarrassed. I think past the age of 10, I was like, I can't say this in public. So to other
but you
people,
can,
say
Nikki.
Yeah. And also my kids now call her Gaggy as well, which is just so cute.
That's such a grandma name.
It is. It works very well. Yeah.
Yeah. But it works for queer families too. Like, because we can call our parents whatever the heck we want.
Exactly.
Really. Our kids can. See, every time I talk to somebody who is donor conceived and also of queer parents, I lean in really close. As you know from last time.
Yeah.
Because I have so many questions. All right. So, because you just said that you found your donor.
Yeah, I did.
And you called him your biological dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So can we get into this? Can you tell me, how did you feel growing up about being donor conceived and all the things?
I would talk about this to anybody. I was so chill about it. My parents, it was one of those things I have no memory of having that conversation. I just always knew. It was just part of who I was and how I was raised. And I really wasn't, because it was interesting to other people, I loved talking about it. So at school, I would hold like seminars, like to be like, this is how it works. And this is what, especially because I was like in a girls' school, in a private girls' school. So people were kind of like, I don't know how that works. And I was like, right, I'm going to educate you and I'm going to make you know. But I was never embarrassed by it. I thought it was really cool. Like I was different. Everyone else had normal families. But I always said to people, the donor's anonymous, so I'm never going to know him, but hopefully I'm going to get to find half siblings. And that was like, I was always so interested in that. And my moms were too. They always were like, oh, when you turn 18, you can sign up to the donor sibling registry. And we talked about that a lot. And they were very frank about the fact I wouldn't be able to find my donor. Nikki, Gaggy, she was always very sad about the fact I wouldn't be able to find him. She was kind of like, I wish you would have that biological link and you'd be able to find out about yourself. And she was just like, it just didn't work out that way. I was never really sad about the fact I wouldn't know him. I had a lot of sort of curiosities, and if something came up, I'd be like, oh, I wonder if I got that from him. You know, that's definitely not from mum. But it was never really a sad thing. It was just, I really would like to know some of those answers. I was fairly used to it after a bit that it wasn't going to happen. And then, yeah, obviously genealogy sites improved as I got older, which was not something anyone expected when I was born.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that changed it a bit.
Yeah. What made you decide to search?
So I wasn't searching for him, actually. I really, when all of that stuff kind of got started getting bigger, you know, like Ancestry or 23andMe, I think is the kind of American one. I remember Nikki saying, oh, do you want to try one of them to find out like the other half of you genetically, like if I'm from anywhere interesting? I was like, yeah, go on then. So she got it for me as a present. And it came back kind of fairly interesting. There are a couple of bits I was like, oh, that's cool. I've got some Ashkenazi Jew in me. But that was it. There wasn't really, it did come up with all of these kind of relatives, but they were literally like fourth, fifth cousins. It was like, but it keeps you on the database. So even if you don't go on it for a really long time, you'll get emails constantly kind of saying, you've got new DNA matches. And every time it was really like fourth cousin, fifth cousin. And I just would click on the email, click off. It was never interesting. And then I got one that was like second cousin. And I was like, ooh, that's like the closest I've ever got. And I didn't recognize the name. Yeah. So I thought it's unlikely to be from mum's side. I had kind of done my family tree when I was pregnant because it was COVID. I was stuck at home and I was a bit bored. So I'd kind of done a lot of my mum's side of the family tree. And I didn't recognize the surname. So contacted him. He was in America. And he was like, oh, no, he wasn't. He was in Canada. Sorry. And he was like, oh, well, that's interesting. How are we linked? Like, that's quite far for second cousins. And I was like, well,
yeah,
I don't know half of my background. So it could be from the donor's side. And he got all kind of like, oh, I'm really into all of this. Can I do some digging? And I was like, if you want, sure. I'm not. I wasn't really holding out any hope that it was going to go anywhere. He was miles away. I was like, it's not going to happen. And yeah, then he was like, can you upload all of your raw data from doing the genealogy test to something called GED match? And I was like, yeah, sure. And GED match.
Were you worried that this guy was going to be like a crazy?
No, he'd kind of added me on social media by that point. We kind of talked quite a bit, but it was quite nice because he was my age and he was really interested in his family stuff. So I was like, no, fair enough. But GED match is so technical. I didn't understand it. So I went on it and I was like, I have no idea what I'm looking for, everything was in like numbers. And so he was like, look, upload the results and then come back to me and I'll try and explain them to you because I've done them a few times. And I came back, gave them to him, and he went, oh, you've got another second cousin, but we're not linked, him and this other second cousin. So he was like, so one of us will be on your donor's side. And I was like, that's cool. Okay. Emailed the second cousin because it comes up with an email. So the bonus of GED match is it uses all of the genealogy sites. So if you do one, you only get the links on that one, anyone that's only done that test, which is a little bit reductive. Right. But if you do GED match, you can link to every test that someone's put on. It gives you a load of more matches. And this one, I can't remember what he'd done, but it was one that I would never have done myself. So I wouldn't have met him otherwise without GED match. Mm-hmm. And the person replied and said, oh, actually, I'm his mum. I was just doing my family tree. So I've put the kids' data on. And I was like, oh, right. Okay, fair enough. Explained again. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. Donor conceived. And she sent me an email saying, oh, I think I know who your donor is. And then she vanished. And I was like,
what?
Okay. But again, she was in America, this one. So I was like, again, I really don't know how she is going to know who my donor is. I was conceived in London in the UK.
Was it an American sperm bank? No, it was a UK
UK sperm bank. So I was like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to know him. And I forgot about it. And then literally 3 weeks after giving birth, I got an email in the middle of the night from her saying, oh, I was right. The person that I thought was your donor is your donor. He's done the same test because I sent it to him and it's come up as a paternal match. Here's his email. Oh, and in the middle of the night, and I was like, I was up doing a night feed of Birdie. And I was like, sorry, what?
Oh my God.
And so I was instantly like Googling his name, getting pictures, showing my wife the picture, being like, look. And I couldn't do anything. I was like, I have to go to sleep. I have to start again in the morning. But I found this picture when he has quite an unusual surname when I was Googling him, which was a good, because otherwise I'd be sat there going, who is it?
Yeah.
And this old Twitter profile came up and it was the only thing that had a picture of him on it. And the second I looked at the picture, it was the absolute image of one of my half sisters with the same donor that I'd already connected with. And I went, oh my God, it's definitely him.
Oh my God. Like, you mean he looked exactly like your half sister?
Absolutely. Like, they had the same smile from here down. It was just the same person looking at it. I was like, oh my God. And I didn't even question it.
Oh my God, that's wild. And this woman that connected the two of you, how is she related to him?
So she was married to my donor's uncle, who had moved to America years and years ago and started a family out there. So it was like the nephew of my donor.
Holy, okay. So you look at his picture, it's your half sister's bottom half of your face.
Yeah.
And what do you do? Like, what is going through your mind? Like, what? Like, tell me all the things.
All I wanted to do was email him then. And I was like, it's 3 a.m. I can't do that now. So went back to sleep. And in the morning, sat and wrote an email out. And the first line of it was literally like, you signed up for anonymity. If you want that, that's fine. I was like, I genuinely don't want to kind of come in here and ambush you. I know that at this point he'd done the DNA test. So I thought he must be kind of curious. But I also went like, you didn't sign up to this. It's fine. And left it at that and just said, if you do want to chat though, I'm very happy to email. And he replied really quickly and with this really beautifully written email that was so well worded and so eloquent. And we just talked back and forth from then. Had like a phone call a week later. And yeah, we've met up. We try and meet up sort of twice a year or so. And it's really nice. We've got a really nice relationship now. It's lovely.
Holy moly. That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a story gone right, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like the best outcome. And it doesn't always turn out this way. No,
definitely doesn't.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Well, if this interview is not an ad for the benefits and beauty of donor conception, I don't know what is. And listen, if this little interview here has convinced you to create that donor-conceived family of your dreams, I have something for you. I have a code, and it's from the same cryobank that I made my babies at, y'all. California Cryobank, a full-service sperm bank. And for over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQIA plus clients create the families of their dreams, including mine, including many who come on this show. They are the number one sperm bank in the US, and they shipped over 40 countries, and they do have one of the largest and most diverse selections of sperm donors, which is very important. To learn more, visit cryobank.com and use promo code QueerFam for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can just go see what's up there. And then if you really like what you see, but you want to see more, you can use that code to purchase a level 3 subscription, which gives you a nice huge discount. So there's many ways to use it. Go take a look. Go make those families, y'all. And then come over here and talk to me about them because I want to hear your story. Enjoy. Queer Fam, Queer Fam, code Queer Fam.
Love is love.
And where is he?
So he is actually back down south in London where I was conceived. But it turns out he had actually donated when he was a student up north near Liverpool, which is now where I live. So we've swapped over, which was really interesting. But also my parents were never told that the sperm had actually come from Liverpool and being transported down. Huh. So I'd spent my whole life thinking it was from a donor in London, and actually they've just had a connection with the clinic. So I started finding out a lot about what my parents told that was not entirely accurate.
That's like really scary to hear,
yeah.
Right? Because we put so much faith in these places,
yeah,
that we get our donors from.
Yeah. My parents were given very, very minimal information in the 90s, but they picked my donor because they were told that he was a street musician and they loved that. Both my parents are musicians. They wanted to find someone that kind of was like that and carried that musicalness. And yeah, so I would go when I went to London, there's a bit called Covent Garden in London where you get lots of street performers. And I often thought like, mm-hmm. Oh, that would be where he'd perform if he's in London. And I genuinely look out to see if there was anyone that looked like me. Whole story.
Oh my God.
And then when I met him and we started talking and exchanging those kind of things, I went, oh, were you ever a street performer? And he went, no. He was like, never, never. But his flatmate who donated at the same time as him was. So the word of mouth had just been mixed up along the way, and they'd given the wrong sort of information.
Oh my God. So he wasn't a musician at all?
No, he didn't play any instrument.
Oh my God. He's like, actually, I'm from the Beatles. Like, yeah. Can you imagine? That's a lot to take in, but also you seem like you take it on the shoulder like it's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully by then I'd learned so much about him that it was kind of funny. I could laugh about it, really. I think my mom was alive, so there would be a part of her that would be fuming. But Nikki kind of went, oh, that's funny. But I don't think Nikki had maybe invested so much in that. Whereas my mom, I think it meant quite a bit to her. But yeah, I mean, even the height as well, they very much embellished on his height. And he thought that was hilarious when I told him what the profile had been. He was like, no. And even that they said that he was athletic and he runs marathons now, but he was like, I didn't when I donated. He was like, I was like a student and I was doing it because I needed extra cash, which to be fair, I've spent my whole life knowing that would be the case. I literally would say that to people. I was like, I bet he was just short on rent.
He'd tell you, you know, what was going on in his life when he donated. And
he just graduated and he was skint and he didn't really have a full-time job, and his housemate had said, oh, I've seen this advert up in the local, I don't remember, uni or something, and gone, should we go and donate? Yeah, probably. And there was like a little group of them and they would go along and donate together, hopefully not the same room. That'll be weird.
If that's not gay, I don't know what is.
But none of them stayed on. So they weren't really interested in any of the other guys as donors, but they really liked my donor. So they kept bringing them back until one day he got a message saying, you've reached your 10 family limit. But that was something else. He would thought that the 10 family limit was 10 child limit. So when I emailed and said, oh, there's 15 of us, he went, oh, he's like, didn't think that there would be 15. He'd said something really funny in the first email. And he said something like, oh, when my aunt, I think, contacted me and said that I had a daughter, he was like, I just couldn't believe it. And I sort of said to him, like, what did you think was going to happen when you donated sperm? I was like, it was going to make some of us. Like, but yeah, he just was like, I genuinely hadn't ever thought about it. And he was like, I thought about the fact that he was like, I kind of would talk about it occasionally and say that I'd donate a sperm, but I'd never, it was like, they were never people in my head. Like, you were never a person. I'm kind of not surprised, because that's the way it was advertised to guys back then. There was such a divide, like, right. Yeah, there was, and he thought there was no chance he'd ever meet us. So I think he just never really thought about it.
Wow. I have always wondered, like, that's one of my musings, you know, like, one of my ponderings. I wonder if he thinks about, you know, the kids out there in the world. I wonder that all the time for all donors, sperm donors. And for me personally, I feel like I don't think I could donate my, I mean, they're too old and scraggly now, but like, I don't think I could, because I think I would constantly be wondering about the kids out there. Everybody's different. Everybody's totally different. So you have been forming a bond with him.
Yeah. I didn't know what we were going to kind of do. When we first started talking, I was like, this could be it. It could just be like an email and I'd get some medical history off him, which I was always quite curious about. And then that would be kind of it. And then we had a few phone calls. And the first time that we spoke on the phone, I was so nervous, but it was like we talked forever. Like, his voice was really familiar straight away. And we just got on instantly. Like, we have loads in common. We could talk about stuff really easily. There were no awkward silences. And that really took me by surprise. And I think from then I went, oh, actually, I think this is probably going to stick around, this kind of relationship that we're building. But yeah.
Wow. My mind is so blown. So how long did you talk that first time? Do you remember?
Oh, probably an hour, I'd say, the first one.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what do you guys have in common?
I think the first thing that I loved the second he started talking, and I don't, annoyingly, this is not going to translate across oceans, but we have in England, we've got Radio 4, which is a very like posh radio station, and everyone talks like this, and it's very kind of educational and blah, blah, blah. And he sounded like that the second he started talking, and I thought, my mom would love that. My mom would have absolutely loved that he sounds like a Radio 4 radio host. And he just sounded so eloquent, and he teaches literature and he loves books and reading. We talked about reading from the second we started talking. We both are really into crime. Like, all of my work and everything is with offenders. And he wanted to tell me everything he knew about like Liverpool gangsters from when he'd lived there. And we just, just suddenly we'll send each other articles on, like, if we see something, we're like, they'll like this, I'm going to send it. It's really nice. Like, we have a lot that we share that I didn't think I was going to share. I thought maybe I'd be able to ask him if like he had dodgy joints like I do. I thought that was kind of going to be it. But yeah, just we suddenly discovered we could talk really easily.
It's interesting. You're telling me so many things that you have in common that are more kind of personality based.
Yeah.
Which is really mind blowing and interesting and like, God, just really makes you think about family and genetics and
He doesn't look anything like me. I'll say that as well. Like, and I, at first, part of me was a little bit, fully my mom. And I kind of knew that, but I was so curious if I would have inherited something. And I haven't really. I think potentially eye shape, and that's kind of it. But I think instantly I kind of went, oh, I don't know, like, are we going to connect? Because in my head, it had only ever been that we might look similar. And then I was like, oh, no, actually, we have stuff that we get on and can talk about that you could not have decided to, it's not something he's kind of made a conscious decision to share. I'm not sporty like he is, but there's stuff there that we're like, no, I like that. And you like that. And yeah, it's definitely made me think a lot more about what we inherit, I think.
Yeah, completely. Whoa, my mind is blown. Okay, so you had already gotten to know some of the donor siblings.
Yeah. So at 18, I'd signed up to that donor sibling link. No one had signed up when I first signed up because I'm one of the eldest. Waited a few years. And when I turned 21, I got my first match on there, which was two of my siblings that are also full siblings as well. Got to know them. We're really close. My half sister, I was her bridesmaid at her wedding last year. We're really close now. And then a year or so ago, I found another two. That was, we talked a little bit, but that was a bit more of a slow burn. We kind of had each other. One of them I've still never met, and he's just kind of at arm's length, but we've messaged a bit. And then through the genealogy site, again, getting those emails, I suddenly got an email saying DNA match, half sibling. And it was a half brother that happened to have done it. But thankfully, he knew he was donor conceived. He just hadn't signed up to the link before. But we had a really weird conversation at the beginning when neither of us knew if the other one knew that they were donor conceived. And I was like, I don't want to break this in an email. So I didn't know how to do it. So it was a really strange kind of, so how could we be related? And then finally went, oh yeah, thank God.
Because you don't know and you don't want to oh my God, you don't want to be the bearer of this news.
One email could totally change that person's life. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I want to do that over an email.
Any of them from queer parents?
Yeah, three of them are. Two are from straight parents and three are from queer parents.
Have you come across any who didn't know?
Not yet. All of them have known. The two from straight parents, I think, found out slightly later, but the ones from queer parents had always known. But interestingly, two of them that were from queer parents hadn't known they were donor conceived until they were teenagers. So their parents had separated and they'd gone between the parents, but kind of had just seen them as a mum and their mum's best friend. And they'd never known. They just hadn't really thought about it. And I still can't really get my head around that. But they were like, it just wasn't really something we talked about. It wasn't, which I think is always interesting when I come across now queer parents that are like, well, we don't need to talk about it with our kids because they know they're donor conceived. And I'm like, actually, it might be worth having a conversation.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Mm. Yeah. I just assume that we all talk about it, and also I guess like in an instance where you are going between parents' houses, so your friends aren't seeing you with your non-traditional makeup all once, so your friends aren't asking. Like my kids, their friends ask them about it, like how do you have two moms, and so they've had to learn how to explain it. All right, so you have found five.
Yes. There are 15 of us in total. So there's five half siblings and then me and my sister. So there's seven of us that are in contact so far and another eight to find.
Oh, how about your sister? Has she connected with the donor?
My sister isn't interested. She knows everything. I would send her the emails and tell her about stuff and we'd talk occasionally on the phone. She doesn't really like to talk about it, but she just was like, you can give me the odd update, but I don't really care. So yeah, she really has not had the same interest as I have at all. Same with the siblings. She's met two of them, but doesn't really talk to them. She just kind of met them to meet them once. So yeah, very different approaches there.
Yeah, it really is. From the same exact family.
Yeah.
You know, you just Everybody's different.
Yeah, definitely.
How about the other donor siblings? Have they connected with him? Is he open to just connecting with all of them?
Yeah, yeah. He's dead eager. Like when we came across the newest one, I've always been like, he describes me as like the gatekeeper because I was the first to meet him. And then I'd introduce him to the half siblings. And then when we met this half sibling, it was through my genealogy site. So I was then introducing him to everyone. He did a radio show on Radio 4 a while ago. He did a phone in where they were talking about the fact that in England, they're opening it's the first lot of people that are meeting their donors now. They're turning 18. So it's a big year in England for that. And they did a phone in for people that were donors or had been donors in the past or were new ones. And he rang up to say how important it was that that donors connect with their donor conceived children. I was so proud. I was listening to it, but he was talking about me and he said, like, my eldest, well, I'm not the eldest, I'm the first, which I think makes me feel like an eldest. She's been the gatekeeper. She's introduced me to kind of everyone and run all of that. But he's so eager to get to know everyone. And he was like, well, go at your own pace. You know, if you want to talk, you can. If you don't, fine. So it's been really nice.
Have you met in person?
Yeah. Oh yeah, lots. But we also had a sibling day with him the other day. We all went to Birmingham, which is quite near me. We all got the train from various parts of England and met up. And it was one of the hottest days of the year. And we just had drinks in a beer garden for the afternoon. And it was me, three of my half siblings and our donor. And it was lovely. It was my first kind of baby free afternoon as well. Ah, and we just all got pissed together. It was really nice.
Oh my God. Perfect afternoon. Wow. My mind is blown. I'm so happy for you, you know, because you do have to manage your expectations when you're going into this, you know. You don't know if you'll like each other, and you don't know if the daughter will be a disappointment to you. And I worry about that with my kids a lot. Mm. Like, oh God, what if, you know, I think he's probably the best guy in the world, but if it turns out to be a real a-hole. And then, you know, so God, I'm so happy for you. This is such a beautiful, happy ending story. And it's not an ending. It's like ongoing.
Yeah.
What do you call him?
So, I mean, I use his name when I talk to him normally, but, I've started calling him biological father if I talk about him, because I'd always referred to him as donor. I was always quite happy with that. But once he became a person and was in front of me, donor felt really detached. And whilst that is still a sort of definition of what he is to me, it felt weird. So it turned into biological father or bio dad in a kind of casual setting.
Right. And keeping the bio in front like shows that there's more story to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And how does your mom feel about it?
Oh, she's met him. So she, yeah. So it was like the third time I think I met him, and I said to Nikki, because she was going to come down anyway and take Birdie out for lunch and stuff, so that me and my donor could go out and just have like lunch together. But afterwards, I said, "Do you want to meet him? Like, do you want to come in and see him?" And she was like, "Yeah." Like, she was nervous, and I knew she'd find it really weird. But she was like, "No, I'd really like to meet him." And she sat just kind of between us and just kept looking between the two of us. And she was like, "It's so weird." Cause she was like, "I've pictured this the whole time, like since you were born." She was like, "I looked at you in the hospital and thought, gosh, you know, there's something there with your eyes. You don't look like mom completely. Something's there." And she was like, "I've always wondered what he'd look like." And I think she was like, "I feel strange, but I'm so glad I've got to see him." And she loves hearing about him now. Anytime I meet up, she wants to know how he is and stuff, which is really nice. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love this. This is like warming my heart in all the right ways. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
We are Gatriarchs, two of the world's okayest dads.
And while we love our kids, they can also be a-holes.
So every week, we get together and talk it out, one horror story after the other.
Like the time my 3-year-old asked his grandmother if she has a penis.
And the time I ran out of wipes in public and had to use Dunkin' Donuts napkins dipped in iced tea.
Being a gay parent is hard.
Hard.
Join us as we trade war stories over a nice box of wine.
Gatriarchs. Less goop, more baby poop. Hey!
Love is love.
So I have a question for you as a donor-conceived gay mom yourself who did the donor-conceived route. This is I'm asking you a personal question, actually. I feel like you're an expert way more than I am on this. I recently found out who the donor is.
Right.
And got a picture, an adult picture of him and know his name. Mm. And was told he's open to being contacted.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm just asking you, like, what would you do in this situation? You have kids who are donor conceived. My kids are a little older. My kids are almost 11 and 6, basically.
Yeah. If that was me, if I found that out, and my kids are small, but I would be going for it. I'd be at least beginning those conversations with him. I probably wouldn't jump straight into meeting, but I'd be having those chats and going, this could be great. Like, it would be lovely for you to meet the kids. It would be lovely for you to meet me. I don't know if my wife would feel the same, interestingly. I think she's always taken a slight step back. Not in, she was like, no, go for it. But she kind of wants them to make those decisions, which obviously they're too small at the moment to do. But I would be wanting to lay the foundations at least so that if, as they got older, they wanted to, I could go, great, here you go. Like, rather than let's start looking now. I'd be kind of laying that foundation work a bit more, I guess.
Interesting, because what I did.
Yeah.
I don't think I did it. I'm handling it terribly. But I wish I had asked you first, because I had this new information and because I had the new picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And because my daughter is 11 now, right? So we've been talking about him. She knows. And anytime she asks, we pull out the folder, we look at the pictures, we look at his essay, you know, all the things. Now I have this new picture, right? Yeah. And I have this new information. Mm. And I'm of the belief from all the interviews I've done that you just need to be as open and honest about the donor and the whole process as you can. So I was like, well, we got to let her know that we got this new information.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't reach out to him at all. I kind of just didn't even answer that whole thing. I just, when the next time my daughter brought him up, I said, oh, I have a little more information about him and I have a new picture. I have an adult picture. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, sure. You know, so I showed her that. And then I told her, he said he's open to being contacted. Is it something you want to do? And she was like, nah. And I was like, okay, so we'll leave it at that.
That's very 11 years old, I think. Yeah.
So now I've already kind of put it in her court at this point.
No,
so now
I like I would that. Feel. I think the age thing as well. I think it's so easy to say what you'll do when they're small. And then as they get older and they have their own opinions, it's going to be very different how they'll approach it. So I think you know how your daughter's going to feel about it. And clearly she's gone, yeah, we'll think about it. I'll come back. Because interestingly, my donor has two of his own kids. So I have another two half siblings, but they're a lot younger. They're teenagers. And so one of them's not much older than your daughter. He took a while telling them because he didn't know how to kind of have that conversation. And I was like, please tell them, because I don't want them to find out. And the more siblings we were finding, I was starting to worry that it was going to be a lot of information for them to get all in one go. Like, not only do you have some half siblings, you have this many that are all here and all ready to get to know. Because like we sent him a Christmas card the first year and it has like a picture of Birdie in, and he put it on his mantelpiece, but was just telling them that it's like a family member. And I was like, you need to have that conversation. And he finally did. And they responded as teenagers, just going, okay, we'll come back to that. Like, when we want to, we'll talk about it. And I think that's a really kind of normal response. I was like, yeah, fair enough. At least they now can muse on it a bit, or go, I'm not interested right now. I'll come back to that later. And that's, I like that. I think it gives you time to process a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's me. I mean, and you've been there. You've been there. You're on both sides.
Yeah.
It's so nice to hear your thoughts on the matter, but that's, I am heartwarmed in all the right places right now with your story. This is amazing, Freya. Oh my God. And you're gaining kind of this bonus parent.
I keep saying I love that we've got this kind of hodgepodge family. Like, it's it's not simple and it is confusing, and trying to explain it to people is confusing, but it's not confusing in a bad way. It's confusing in this kind of, oh, right, okay, hold on. We've got this, right, I've got these siblings and I've got this sister that's a slightly different sister and I love it. I think it just makes our family so much more, we love each other in this way because we understand how love is created, and it's not a given, and it's not this kind of, you know, it's lovely and mishmash. And we've just started having those conversations with my eldest daughter, and she gets so excited. Like, we've got the book Zach Safari, and there's the line in it where it's go, I have a donor. And she always goes, I have a donor. And she just gets so excited. And I'm like, yeah, it's so cute. It's trying to show that it doesn't have to be kind of good or bad. It's just this kind of weird mishmash, interesting thing. And I love it.
And it just is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It just is. And it can be beautiful.
Yeah.
I just absolutely love this. And so now I noticed that you have that your account is Unicorn DCP.
Yeah.
So are you doing work with donor conceived people?
Yeah. So I spoke at a, well, actually I do more work really on the side of the recipient parents. So I've been working with this organization called Fertility Matters, and mm-hmm. they have done two conferences now in different parts of the UK where lots of parents go that are either considering donor conception or have used donor conception. And they have all these workshops and they have panels. So they have a panel of recipient parents that talk, and then they have a panel of donor conceived people that talk. And I always talk on the donor conceived panel, but obviously, so say like I am on both. One of the people that runs it with me, well, no, she runs it. I work with her. Hayley is also a dual citizen like me. Oh. She's, yeah.
Hayley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has a podcast.
Yes.
Oh, I just posted about Hayley. Yes. I love Hayley.
I messaged her. I was like, I'm chatting to Jamie later.
I think Hayley's going to come on the show too.
Yeah, she's
brilliant. I'm trying to make that happen.
Yeah. We've got a lot in common. So yeah, I've been sort of working with her. We've done a lot of kind of chats, live chats and stuff, but the conferences are brilliant because you get to talk to people in person that are kind of still on the fence or they're really nervous about how to approach donor conception. And it's nice to give them this kind of heartwarming story that's like, actually it's not all scary. The beginning bit might be a bit scary, but it's doesn't have to be scary all along.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh my god, Freya is about to become an egg donor, so go in, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, so it's still very new, but it was actually after the second conference that I spoke at with Hayley, and I'd always known I wanted to donate my eggs. And then I was sat in this room with people that had been trying for years and years and years to have children and weren't able to. And I just thought I had the easiest ride possible having my kids, but I needed that help. I needed a donor. I wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise. And I just thought, our family is completed. We're not having any more. I want to be able to do this for someone. I started down the kind of normal route, which is looking at like the egg banks. But as a donor conceived person, they couldn't really give me the guarantee that I wasn't going to donate to someone that was potentially a half sibling of mine. And like kept me awake at night when I was going, hold on.
I didn't even think of that.
No. So I was like, what if one of the people, their partner, like their male partner who's providing the sperm, what if that's a half brother of mine? And I was like, the only thing I could use is like years of birth to rule it out, but that's not particularly scientific. And they just couldn't really give me that guarantee. So that had to be paused. And I found there is something called Surrogacy UK, and they are a brilliant organization that mainly connects surrogates, but they also connect people needing known egg donors. And it's all incredibly regulated. You have to go through a huge application process to become a member. You have to go through a get to know you phase with the couple or person that you're helping, where you have 3 months where you just hang out like and meet up and get to know each other and make sure that that's something you want to do. And I thought, actually, that makes so much more sense, because I would need to probably have DNA testing and things like that with the person that would be receiving my eggs.
Right.
We'd be able to do that if it was going down that route. So that's where I've begun. Just started the very lengthy application process, and we'll see where it goes, really. I'm hoping that I get approved, but yeah.
So that's exciting. Oh my God, I can't wait to hear what happens. And then you could be like, you could stay close with them, I suppose.
Yeah. So that was it. And I said that it would totally be down to the parents, but the main thing for me is that the child isn't lied to. That would always be the key thing for me. And going down that way would give you more of a feeling that that person's not going to then tell their kid that they're not donor conceived, even if I'm just there so that they can drop me a text and say, so-and-so's got a question, can I ask you this? I'd be like, yeah, sure. That level of contact was really all I wanted as a kid. I just wanted the odd question answered. I didn't need that relationship growing up. Mm-hmm. It's just a bonus now. And that's kind of the way I want to be able to give that to somebody, is going, I'm here. I can answer it. I can bugger off for a bit, but I'm here.
Ugh. God, that's amazing. And so would you say, like I always say in humor and truth, that, you know, us queer parents are doing the best out of all the parents?
We're definitely like, trying hardest, I'd say.
Wouldn't you just say we're better?
Yeah.
We're just better.
Yeah.
Oh my God. One last question. Now that we've started it up again, do you like the term queer spawn?
Yeah, I do actually. I'd never heard of it before. You were the one that called me a unicorn in the episode, and then it's just stuck. So you gave me my Instagram title.
I love it.
And
yes,
my book title. Yeah. So,
God, look at that. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I was just sitting here thinking, wow, she really is a unicorn. that fits her so well. And I didn't. I'm so glad you just told me that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank you Freya, for reaching out to continue your story. And I feel like maybe we need to have updates from Freya every year or so, see what's going on.
How many siblings I've got each time.
Yeah, because it's just going to keep on, your family's going to keep building.
Yeah, yeah. There's still eight more out there. One of my half brothers, his girlfriend is pregnant. So I've got a niece that's on the way of a half sibling. It's lovely. So my donor's going to have another grandchild that's on the way through this weird higgledy-piggledy family that we have.
And your donor, your bio dad, is totally cool with the gay thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's so chill.
I would be so nervous about that.
Yeah. Like, no, I really did worry. And he actually said, he was like, and he did this on the radio program that I listened to him as well. He said, he was like, I had never, he was like, it was so naive, but I'd never considered that it could be going to queer parents. In my head, it was just always heterosexual parents. And yeah, he was like, no, of course, that makes more sense. Of course, it's going to go to queer parents. And he loves it. he talks with such pride about like his grandkids, my kids. And it's lovely. Aww. It's they've got this extra bonus grandparent there that's just brilliant. So, yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Well, Freya, tell everybody at home where they can find you if you want to be found.
Yeah. So where I'm talking a lot is on my Instagram, UnicornDCP. And I've got 6 weeks from in a couple of weeks where my daughter starts nursery and I don't start work. And I'm going to finish this blooming book that I'm writing. That is my aim.
And what is the book?
So the book is called Unicorn. And it's just literally the story I've just told you, but a lot more fleshed out. And yeah, sharing the life of being donor conceived and then doing it again and conceiving my children that way.
Oh my God, this is amazing. So when the book is done, you got to come back.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Everybody go follow Freya and learn all about her beautiful life. And Freya, this has been such an honor and a pleasure to talk to you.
It has. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay. Keep in touch.
Yeah.
And this is not the end.
No, absolutely not.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.